Youth Sports Now presents Your Peak Performance, topics that support the well-being of your young athlete, presented by Peak Performance Physical Therapy in East Rochester.
And we are back on Youth Sports Now, our special segment with Mike Naparella from Peak Performance Physical Therapy and Sports Training. Mike, how's it going?
That's going great.
Good. Well, you know, we've talked about the training that you and Karen, your wife, but also physical therapist, you know, have been doing with your daughter's volleyball club locally. How's that going, and what sort of things have you got the girls working on right now?
Yeah, you know what? It's been fun. It's been really neat. Actually, I would give kudos to the 16s and 17-year-old teams from Paradigm. Not this past weekend, but the weekend before at the Martin Luther King Tournament in Lancaster, PA, both the 16s and 17s won the gold bracket, so they just did awesome. It was neat to see them come together, and they're just having a lot of fun, but they're also just getting better and learning to play together as a team, and awesome time for the athletes and the parents to have them get a victory like that. The training's been going really neat. We've got the music going in the gym there at Hot Shots. The kids are off in pairs. We've got them up to about 13 different stations right now. We're gradually building up toward about 15 or 16 different stations or circuits for them to do. They're all off in pairs, and they're working really hard. They're doing some dynamic balancing drills to help them with prevention of ankle sprains and things like ACL injuries and, you know, control of their knee stability. They're working on lower body strength and some upper body strength. They're doing core work with body weight straps. They're working on quickness and some plyometric drills and change of direction. We're teaching them some of those concepts that we talked about, even a month or two ago in the show, about how to make sure that when you're changing direction, you're applying force into the ground with the right side of your foot even. Sometimes athletes are just doing an agility drill, and it seems like a really creative drill, and it's really neat, and people are working hard, but they're doing it incorrectly. So there's even technique that can be taught on how to do quickness drills, plyometric drills the right way that sometimes can get missed. So they're learning a lot of stuff. They're working really hard, and we're having fun.
So, Mike, you know, when an athlete gets hurt, they often aren't sure what their next step should be. Remind our listeners what sort of the options are for athletes and their parents in terms of how you at Peak Performance can help them and why start early.
Well, you know, this is a really timely question. I'll start this answer, Greg, by giving you a quick story from Mike Galisano. You've met him. He's been on the show before. He had a patient not very long ago who had actually gotten injured almost a month or more before, and she had injured her ankle. She had seen her pediatrician, and they'd advised 4 weeks of rest. So the girl laid low, and she rested, and of course the ankle felt better, right? I mean, the pain went away, the swelling went down. She felt more comfortable for low-key day-to-day life, and when she went back and saw her doctor a month later, the doctor said, well, you sound like you're doing really well, so go ahead and start getting back into your sport. Well, this girl went back into her sport, and I don't remember exactly whether it was in a few days or within a week, she re-sprained that same ankle. Because she really had a lack of symptoms, but she didn't have the presence of performance or ability. She just didn't have a symptom. And it's really important for our athletes out there, and coaches especially, and parents, to remember that someone who doesn't complain of a pain doesn't mean they're performing well. It just means they don't have a pain. Performance is a whole different issue. So she re-sprained this ankle, and then she got in to see Mike, and Mike just did an awesome job with her, and a very short time later, she's back to participating again. But she's healthy and staying safe because he was able to identify where she's missing motion, what kind of balance drills she needed, what direction she needed to be reaching or moving in, how to strengthen her in a way that was effective. So she got back quickly, as safely as possible, and I think this story, all too often, we see where, whether it's days or whether it's weeks, an athlete, and you know what, Greg, it's even you and I, it's adults, it's the grandparents, it's the parents, right? We get hurt. When the pain goes away, we feel like, well, hey, I recovered, I healed. And oftentimes, that's the farthest thing from the truth. The inflammation settled down, your pain is better, but you don't have your motion back yet. You don't have your strength back. And then when you go back out and participate, you're either going to hurt that body part again like this young girl did, or a different body part has to take up the slack, and then it starts getting loaded. So there's a few options for kids out there, for athletes who want to get help by one of our physical therapists to know what to do. If it's really something that they think is sort of questionable, they're not really sure if it's an injury, they just want to know the right next step, you know, they can give us a call at 218-0240. That's our phone number. We're here in East Rochester. We're really accessible to a lot of different places in the Monroe County area. And they can get in for a quick sports injury assessment visit. It's a quick 15-minute thing. We can sort of help point them in the right direction. It's not very in-depth, not a lot of problem solving, but it just gives people who don't really know what that next step should be. Do I need to see a doctor? Should I get films? Can I just start physical therapy? Do I just rest and ice it for a few days and this is probably going to go away? I don't really need any formal care. Try and help point them in the right direction. Now, certainly there's this next level of injury, which would have been great for this girl when she had gotten hurt, which is if you know you got injured, and it's not just disappearing in 24 to 48 hours, you can come on in for a direct access visit. In New York State, you can come to physical therapy without a prescription for up to a month or 10 visits, whichever comes first. And most insurance companies pay for that, so you can bypass some of the delays that might happen otherwise, get right into someone who's an orthopedic musculoskeletal expert who's not only going to assess you but is going to begin treating you. And versus just saying, here's what I think you have, rest it, ice it, take some medicine, but you're not treating it yet. We actually are going to get you started and treat it, and that's what Mike did with her when she got hurt the second time. So there's a number of ways an athlete can get in and get started. And if they need films, we can direct them to go see an orthopedist or go to their pediatrician, or some people choose to just go to urgent care, and get the films and make sure there isn't a fracture. That, you know, if that's a concern, that's something that we need to get done. And then they get on the road to recovery, and we can get them started without lots of wasted time. This poor girl spent 4 weeks resting and didn't really end up being any better for it because she went and resprained right away. She wasn't really prepared.
Well, Mike, you know, and that brings up a good point because, you know, one of the things that we say is, you know, this whole segment and the name of your business is Peak Performance. And then, you know, you certainly throw in physical therapy and sports training. There's a question that, you know, many listeners have asked many times. And I think maybe now's a good time to at least start in on that subject. And that is, what is the difference between, you know, what you do training and then what you do as, say, you know, exercise or maybe even physical therapy. So it's almost a three-headed monster of you know, exercise and training and then physical therapy. Can you start at least to decipher all that for our listeners?
Well, you're right. You know, it can be sort of a big confusing, not quite a mess there, but it can be confusing. You know, physical therapy is unique because we are typically seen as healthcare providers who handle injuries. Right, so you got to get hurt first before you see a therapist. And as some of our listeners have emailed in and said, do I have to get hurt to see you? We don't have to. Physical therapists are allowed to do preventive work, performance-based preventive work. But the majority of what we do, certainly as a physical therapist, tends to be related to actual injury care. After a surgery, after you sprain your ankle, you're having a tendonitis or a pain, and you're feel like your balance is off. You're having trouble with feeling weak, you're feeling tight. So we deal with those troubles after you've got them. But we can do prevention and performance, so that's where some of the confusion can come in. But let's say we even take it from the injury side and take that off the table. The real, I think the big key words that you talked about that are really valuable for people to understand is this notion of exercise and training. Oftentimes those sort of words get put together in the same sentence, or they get used almost as synonyms to each other, and they're totally not. There's a few ways I think we can delineate, you know, what's the difference between exercise and training. I think when you think of the word exercise, I would encourage people to step back maybe and think about randomness, just activity, something being generic, just hard work. Working really hard, not necessarily thinking about working smart, but just working hard. Maybe the idea of without having a specific direction or focus. Sometimes it can feel almost, it's hodgepodge, it's sort of scattered. It's in the moment, right? There's a cool thing to do. Hey, that looks really hard. Boy, he said that gave him a great pump, right? There's all these things that sort of incite us, they motivate us to try a new thing. It's exercise. It's in the moment. It's like, it's almost like that drive-through window, immediate satisfaction thing. Right? We just, exercise is movement and activity. Training is full of exercise, but exercise itself is not necessarily training. And there's an important difference there, right? Exercise really is just all those different activities you could do. Training, the concept of training is very different. The concept of training, Greg, has to do with purpose. It has to do with goals. It's focused. Training is well thought. Training is comprehensive. Training is looked at as something we consider more long-term. Not just I went to the gym today and I want to try something brand new, but does it fit into the purpose? Does it fit into the scheme? Does it fit into the progression of load and force and speed and all the things I'm doing? Moving towards specificity of my sport, that's what training is. So training's full of exercises, but it takes those exercises and it sort of manipulates them and structures them and organizes them in a way that you can be goal-oriented, that things get layered on each other very intentionally. When we're training, we like to think of the word design. There's a purpose. It's not just hodgepodge, hey, I went into the gym today and I found something that looks cool. I saw something new on the internet. I saw a YouTube video. I heard that's what Syracuse University does, where it's sort of random and bouncing around without, you know, quite being directed. It's very focused and it's layered and it's intentional. Another thing, Greg, I think is really important for people to think about, and this is unfortunately one of the things that we see sometimes when we've had people come in who've, you know, been to various places training, is they're out there just doing sort of generic exercise. I talked to a girl the other day who's a local athlete who, she's in a small group training at, you know, one of these places locally, and has some really obvious postural issues and some really obvious dynamic control issues going on at her knees and at her trunk. And so it turns out that she was never really individually tested. Nobody ever did a biomechanical assessment with her, an orthopedic assessment. They just sort of went in as a small group, you know, oftentimes, you know, 2 kids, 4 kids, 6 kids, 20 kids. But the smaller the group, we really would, you know, at least here, we would say, if you've got a smaller group, we can be more customized, I can be more specific to your individual needs. Now, if we've got a group of 20 kids, we can't be as customized in the program design, certainly for a group of 20 kids, and have them all training at the same time. So we can be aware of what we call the big rocks, the big things that we see not right, but it's not quite as specific. But in a group of 4 people, why not? So this girl was doing a training program, and I know there's lots of people out there doing this sort of thing. They're working hard, they're sweating, they get lactic acid, they get tired, they feel like it's a good thing, but they're doing a lot of drills on top of a body that's got lots of underperforming parts to it, postural issues, biomechanical issues, that aren't performing well. But they're doing the agility drill in the midst of that. They're doing the agility drill on top of that. Without any awareness, without any focus, without any specificity, addressed at what their individual needs are. And listen, when you're in a big group, that no one's going to be able to do lots of customized individual biomechanical attentive sort of training. But boy, when you're in a smaller group, if you're paying for someone to train you, I hope the people out there are getting someone who is evaluating them first. And so my point is, when we look at exercise, we think of a bit more randomness, just trying things out. Hey, it looks like fun. Boy, that looks hard. You know, but when we're training, we don't think that randomly. It's not going to change willy-nilly from day to day or week to week. There's a purpose to it. So in training, I really believe that what our listeners should be thinking out there as athletes and as coaches and parents is, if you're in a training program, someone should have tested you. And I don't mean just doing a vertical jump or a 40-yard dash, you know, athletic performance tests. I also mean, someone should be looking at, what is it that Bobby brings to the table here today that Bobby needs help with uniquely? How are his ankles moving? How is his balance? How does he do with twisting? How is his core? How is, not just what's his 40-yard dash, and we'll see in 4 weeks if we can lower his 40-yard dash, but why is his 40-yard dash not that good? And very, very often, a young athlete, Greg, we can identify some shortcomings that we can create a what we call a customized, a corrective program for them, that even though they're doing their sports training program, they've also been taught something that's very unique to them. Or if I've got a program that maybe I've got a small group of four or six kids, if I know what each of their needs are, when we get to, you know, exercise number four, you know, each of those kids may have some unique emphasis that's placed on them, or a tweak or a modification that allows us to be customized and sensitive to their own needs, versus this generic training where kids are doing all sorts of hard things, which are cool exercises and can stimulate the body, but in the long run never really addressed why they don't jump well, why they don't run fast, why they don't change direction well. Those are the underlying things. Those aren't just pick a cool agility drill. Those aren't just, hey, are you doing plyometrics? It goes far beyond that, and that goes down to the being able to test and understand biomechanics. And that's one of the key things, I think, that when we look at training, we really want to consider. And at the college level, certainly at the elite college level, when people do strength conditioning programs, that's a lot of what happens at the higher level, and certainly at the pro level, is people are being looked at for their own unique needs as well, and making sure that those things aren't being missed. Because very often it's not about, did you miss doing the coolest plyometric drill that would have helped you jump higher? It's, boy, did you realize that your left knee is really unstable and your right ankle is super stiff? No wonder you don't jump high. So if you have those problems, it doesn't matter what drill you put them in. It doesn't matter what weight you lift. It doesn't matter what program design scheme you come up with. They're still going to keep failing because someone never addressed their rotary instability at their knee or their lack of bending mobility at their ankle. It's really identifying those things, I think, that becomes the heart of it. And then we can make a training program that's designed, not sort of shaken up in a can and see what pops out, but designed with intention.
And, Mike, when you do that, though, a lot of times, you know, and you've mentioned many times on the show before, but when you do that type of work with the young athletes, whether they're, you know, the real young ones or whether they're the college athletes, once you point some of this stuff out, it actually becomes quite obvious to them and their parents as well. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of times they'll get that sort of puzzled look on their face, and then it's almost followed by the light bulb look of, wow, I can't believe you could just confirm that for me, because I've been feeling for a long time like I couldn't do X, Y, or Z because something felt weird about my ankle or something felt, I always felt kind of funny about that. But because the only body you have is your own, right, you really don't have any comparison to know what normal is other than what you think you see on somebody else. Unless you've had all that biomechanical orthopedic training, you're not really sure what you're always looking at, or sometimes you look at something and think you're seeing something for reason A. And actually, when someone who's trained looks at it, it's actually reason D that it was doing that. So you're misguided in it. So you really don't have anything to compare to. What's your reference point? So a lot of times people just feel really validated, you know, when you share with them some of the reasons why. Because, you know, we talked about this before, Greg, about, you know, let's say we take an athlete who's got poor flexibility. And one of the stories we've talked about before is a kid being labeled as, boy, Jimmy's just slow. Mary's just not very coordinated. And sometimes how it may not be that. It may just be, boy, they just don't have good flexibility. And, you know, this kid is thinking, something's not quite right about how I do this. I don't understand why, but something's not right. But they feel like it shouldn't be that way. And very often it's not just a technique thing. It's not a coaching thing. It's not a you're not working hard thing. It's that they're actually lacking, for whatever reason, from habits of growing up, from an old injury that was unresolved, things just aren't panning out to become more symmetric and more normal. And these unevennesses in our body, these shortcomings, play themselves out on the athletic field, on the court, and on the ice, and, you know, wherever, as you try to swing a racket or jump or run or cut or do whatever. And it's not just this high-level, high-intensity, generic sports training sort of thing that people need to be doing, but they should be wondering and curious. I really encourage coaches and parents and athletes to be curious about their body, to say, what is the thing on me that's holding me back? Not what's a cool exercise, what's a hard thing to do, give me another one, show me another one, but more be curious about, what do I own that we can fix here and make me a better athlete? now, you know, when that athlete gets validated and they feel like, boy, you just showed me something that really fits and it makes sense now. Now when you fix that ankle mobility, you fix that balance issue or that core issue deficit that they had, now when they jump into those cool drills, big, cool things happen because they don't have those shortcomings holding them back. And I think that's why we want to look at things in the focus of training and not just exercise. There's tons of young athletes out there doing all sorts of things, P90X and Insanity and, you know, whatever. Challenging, hard, you know, oftentimes very valuable exercise programs, but these things aren't really designed for what their needs are. And so it's just exercise. It might be hard. It might make you sweat. It might give you a pump. It might make your legs shake the next day. But it is just exercise. Training has a purpose, and that's the big difference.
Mike, that's great, and I'm sure we're going to, you know, we'll put some information up on the website about that, because it's important for the parents and the coaches and the sports administrators to really understand that, and you know, we'll make sure we get that out to our listeners. As always, it's a pleasure, Mike, and we look forward to our next topic and getting some more questions from our listeners, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week, Greg.
Thanks, Mike. When we come back, a view from my dugout.